Hello. On this week's program, the region's arts leaders remember the last year and look forward to 2006. Our guests include Philadelphia Orchestra Music Director Christoph Eschenbach, Philadelphia Museum of Art Director Anne Darnancourt, Kimmel Center President Janice Price, Pennsylvania Ballet Artistic Director Roy Kaiser, Opera Company of Philadelphia Producing Artistic Director Robert Driver, and Delaware Symphony Orchestra Music Director David Amato. In addition, Jason Pfeiffer will provide a peek at the coming year in theatre and speak with the artistic directors of some of the region's leading companies. That's all I have this morning, creatively speaking.
Support for Creatively Speaking comes from the Greater Philadelphia Tourism Marketing Corporation, the Pennsylvania Council on the Arts, and the listeners of WRTI.
It's been a remarkable year for the Philadelphia Orchestra. The completion of the Mahler-themed 04-05 season saw the orchestra on its first tour of Asia under the leadership of music director Christoph Eschenbach. The tour was a huge success and served to further cement the growing bond and understanding between the maestro and his musicians. The current Beethoven theme season, which marries works by the great master with new and recently composed works, has also been extremely well received. It's featured several orchestra-commissioned new works, most notably a percussion concerto by Jennifer Higdon and an homage to Benjamin Franklin by Higdon's former student at Curtis, Daniel Kellogg. I met with Maestro Eschenbach recently at the Kimmel Center to talk about his hopes and ambitions for 2006 and to talk about the highlights of the past year.
We did very, very wonderful programs. But of course, a highlight of the year was a tour to Asia, which covered, I think, what was it, 7 countries in 3 weeks, and with many programs, and including 3 Mahler programs in Century Hall, where one was televised by NHK. And the whole tour was marvelous because we went with almost no exception to marvelous halls and had great response. Audience and in the press. And after the summer vacation, we began a new season, which is very special, including all the Beethoven symphonies juxtaposed by new compositions, by commissions and new works from the 21st century.
Which was a very big undertaking. I mean, all of these commissions coming along, even in the last several weeks, you've had the Daniel Kellogg, had the Jennifer Higdon. And a lot of new music for the orchestra to come to terms with.
A lot of new music for the orchestra and also for the audience. And I see with very much satisfaction that the audience now jumps off their seats with a piece by Kellogg, which was a result of a competition for composers. And with the percussion concerto of Jennifer Higdon, who is it? Daughter of the city and a hero now. I was told she is held up in the streets by people in cars yelling at her and screaming, "Hey, Jennifer, you are great." And that's a wonderful sign. I mean, and that tells me that new music isn't dead and that music in the whole isn't dead because the young composers are welcome as never before.
So if we look ahead to the coming year, the season to come, the all Beethoven symphony season, and I'm presuming you're already in the planning stages for the 06-07 season, what are you looking forward to in the next 12 months?
Well, again, to the completion of the Beethoven cycle. We did 5 symphonies until now. It's amazing in 2.5 months. And have also very, very interesting new pieces coming, Bright Sheng, Lindbergh's sculpture, which was performed just 2 months ago in Los Angeles, and we do the second performance. And then we start on a European festival tour, which is, of course, a highlight for the orchestra. Any touring is a highlight. I forgot to say, by the way, that our first record came out and it's a big success.
That's right.
And I'm very, very pleased with that. And the next one will come out in spring and the next in fall. So that's the outlook for the next 12 months.
Philadelphia Orchestra Music Director Christoph Eschenbach. Among the many shows, large and small, presented by the Philadelphia Museum of Art in 2005, their retrospective of Salvador Dali will probably be the best remembered. It reportedly attracted more than 370,000 visitors to the museum and was a great boon to the region economically. But Philadelphia Museum of Art director Anne Darnancourt says the Dali exhibition was just one of the highlights of 2005.
One wonderful thing was to see the number of young people pouring in. I mean, that show was great for all kinds of reasons. It, you know, changed people's minds about how they felt about the artist, whether they thought they knew him or they'd never seen anything by him before. They came out with a whole different feeling. Another wonderful moment was when we were able to acquire the beautiful marble St. Gaudens Angel, which had been in Philadelphia for over 100 years, we just were so determined to make sure that it would be in Philadelphia for the next 100 years, and that will be something that we will be putting on view in early in 2006. It's been really exciting to watch the Perlman Building, the building across the street that's going to be such a fantastic addition to our scene.
In the coming months in March, the signature show, I guess, will be this Wyeth show.
That is a show I'm very thrilled about. He's a kind of great figure in this region as well as, of course, in the whole country. And to have a chance to really survey a career of 7 decades is, you know, you never have that chance. While an artist is still going strong, he's still painting. And I think the exhibition is going to be really revelatory because, again, in a way, like Salvador Dali, in a very different way, we all think we know the work of Andrew Wyeth. But you never know a great artist's work. You never really get to the bottom of it, and you just see more.
Besides the Wyeth, can you talk a little bit about some of the other shows that we can look forward to in calendar year 2006?
There's a wonderful array of exhibitions in 2006. We've been having a great year for photography. This summer, late spring, we will be celebrating this fantastic gift acquisition of the photographs, early modern photographs from the Julian Levy collection. And then photographs by people one has never heard of that are just totally enchanting. So that will draw on a great new strength of the museum's photography collection, and I think it will be a revelation. And then in the fall, we're celebrating the extraordinary art of Latin America in two very different ways. One, a kind of great cornucopia of an exhibition of the arts in Latin America from 1492 to the 1820, from the arrival of Columbus to the great independence movements that swept Latin America in the early 19th century. And then later that fall, in October, I think, there's a very focused look at modern Mexican prints, the great modernist moment in early 20th century Mexico, when printmakers were kind of rediscovering that medium in a very bold and powerful way. And the museum has one of the great collections of this material, and so we will be showing it off.
Philadelphia Museum of Art Director Anne Darnancourt. As the Kimmel Center approaches its 5th anniversary, it's now become the centerpiece of the performing arts landscape in the Philadelphia region, with hundreds of thousands of people attending shows by resident companies and those produced by Kimmel Center Presents at the center's 2 theaters and other performance spaces and at the Academy of Music. I met recently with Center President Janice Price, who says that it's her mission to continue to build on past successes.
We feel, those of us who live and work here on a day-to-day basis, extremely proud of everything we've accomplished in 4 years, the extraordinary breadth of artistic offerings we've managed to bring, the growth of our education program, which has just exploded and experiences huge demand. So on balance, we're feeling extremely good as we go into our 5th year of operation. And this time next year, we'll be having a wonderful celebratory 5th anniversary, if you can believe that is upon us in only 1 year.
What's your overall feeling on the state of the arts? Is it getting better?
I think we found, certainly at the Kimmel Center, and I'll just speak about us first and then perhaps take a more global view, we experienced what every brand new hall does, which was that kind of spike factor in our first year to year and a half of operations, where across the board, all of our programs were sold out. Our resident companies all experienced increased attendance as people really wanted to see the new facility. And in the case of the Academy of Music, some of the beautiful renovations we've done there, but also as the orchestra moved over to the Kimmel Center, the opera and the ballet were able to expand their seasons, do some new work. We brought Broadway to the Academy. All of that, I think, created a new demand. That is, to varying degrees, slowing down a little bit, I think, for all of the companies. I think more and more our collective issue as arts presenters and as arts producers is the amount of choice that the public has. There's a worldwide trend for people to make their decision and purchase their tickets to an event much closer to the date of the event. Well, this machine of subscription and of presenting high-end performing arts has operated for many, many years on the subscription model. Overall, the audience may even remain the same, but more and more of the percentage of your total sale is happening within, actually, in the case of our presentations, which tend to, many of them, be more popular than classical, the day of or the day before the performance. So that gives us all a lot of gray hairs as we, you know, patiently wait for our audience that has so many more choices available to them now in every kind of entertainment consumption. On the other hand, as the market has expanded and the program offerings have expanded, we're expanding the appetite and expanding the desire of the public. I think if you surveyed Philadelphia residents who were arts consumers before the Kimmel Center was built, they will say they attend more arts events now than they did 5 years ago before all these offerings were here. So for those who are predisposed, I think, you know, we're really finding that they love the center. It's just incredible the range of appetite that people have in the community to participate in what we do here.
Kimmel Center for the Performing Arts President Janice Price. Despite recent reductions in the overall size of its season, the Opera Company of Philadelphia has made up in quality what it lacked in quantity over the past 12 months. It's also begun organizational restructuring in the wake of the passing of the company's highly influential president, Jack Mulroney, in late 2004. It's brought on board a new music director, Corrado Rovarez, and a new managing director, David Devan, who comes to Philadelphia after a highly successful period as executive director of Canada's Pacific Opera Victoria. The company now begins preparations for next month's Academy of Music East Coast debut of Margaret Garner, the much-talked-about Richard Daniel Poor Toni Morrison story of a slave woman who kills her infant to keep it too from growing up as a slave. When I met recently with producing artistic director Robert Driver, he was in his usual ebullient form and was well recovered from having simultaneously directed two productions in the fall when the Spanish director of The Barber of Seville was a no-show in Philadelphia.
Of course, to begin the year with Aida, you know, the grandest of all operas, is always a rather major undertaking. And it was so exciting to have, Angela Brown come here following her huge success at the Met. And so that was a great way to start the year. And then I would say this past fall, the fun was having two very different operas like A Masked Ball and The Barber of Seville, with one practically an all-American cast, almost all-American cast, the Ballo, and the Barbieri almost all-Italian, and such diverse pieces. The surprise was, of course, that it had the same director.
Not by intention.
Not by intention. But as I said to my board chairman, Steve Madva, I will never do that again, but I wouldn't have missed it for anything.
Certainly one of the highlights of the coming year will be Margaret
yeah.
Garner.
You haven't heard that. Is that the word out there?
That's the word out there now, Margar. Officially Margar.
Okay.
You've really nursed this from infancy. You were one of the instigating Absolutely. Artistic directors, along with the two other, the Cincinnati and the Detroit artistic directors, to actually bring this from, as you say, from Genesis all right. the way to the stage.
Yeah.
What was your feeling in May when you saw the work finally produced and have its world premiere in Detroit?
It was extraordinarily exciting because I've always wanted to do new works, and there have been reasons, financial as well as just trying to find the right combination of libretto and opera for it. And when David DiChiara brought up this topic and this idea, I loved it from the beginning, and then I got to know Richard Daniel Poor, whom I had known from the Philadelphia Orchestra concerts. But so we've been very excited from the beginning. What has been terrific is to see how the community here and in the other cities have embraced a new work. Because had I said to my board 5 years ago, we're going to do a new opera that is more expensive than Aida, I would have been summarily fired.
And summarily fired when you consider the subject matter, because yes. this was not an easy subject to approach.
And yet the subject matter, I think, is so appropriate for opera, which has that huge ability to encompass tragedy and emotion on such a grand scale and such an elevated scale. And yes, here is the topic that is so difficult for our whole society to deal with even today. And I think that's one of the great moments actually was in one of the workshops that we did for the opera in the August before. And that was when I heard the final resolution of the piece, you know. And here is a piece in which music from the two sides of the picture come together sort of bring a real peacefulness to the piece and a resolution of the conflict and the social conflict. And it's terribly important, I think, for us today.
Opera Company of Philadelphia producing artistic director Robert Driver. 2005 will be remembered as the year Pennsylvania Ballet moved from renowned regional dance company to international stardom. Their sold-out appearances at the Edinburgh International Festival in Scotland for performance of the critically lauded Christopher Wheeldon choreographed Swan Lake have taken the ballet to new heights. The challenge now, as Pennsylvania Ballet Artistic Director Roy Kaiser explains, is to continue the momentum and build on this newfound success.
I really felt that the company just jumped to a whole new level of performance. And we saw that continue when we came back to Philadelphia through our performances with Swan Lake last fall. And there's a different, a new vibrancy, a new spirit in the company. And it's my responsibility to keep that artistic nourishment going. So it's something we talk about. It's something that we've had a number of discussions about with a number of different artists. And something that the organization needs to do. What we did with Swan Lake, it was a box office success. It was a wonderful box office success. But the reason that it was that it was so good artistically. And there was such integrity to the work. And the company was completely invested in it. So that's the reason. And that's the reason that not only worked in our first set of performances in Philadelphia, but it worked in Scotland, it worked in some of the other tour stops we did, and it worked when we brought it back to Philadelphia this past fall. If it wasn't a work of great integrity, we would have done well with it once.
And you really did get some mileage out of it.
We did, and we will continue to. You know, it's resting right now, but I think it's a ballet that I will bring back as often as I can, and if there's interest by tour presenters, either domestically or internationally, we will bring it out and put it back together and get it up on the stage again. We really have the bulk of our season ahead of us still. A number of wonderful things coming up. In February, we do our annual tribute to George Balanchine, and we're adding two amazing works that he did. One is Prodigal Son, one of his very early works. Bringing that into the rep and his Western Symphony. I'm also bringing back, after almost 20 years, his Theme and Variations, which is just a wonderful classic tribute to, you know, the Russian Imperial Ballet that he came from. Company looks fantastic in it. It's already been staged for them. Ben Balanchine's Midsummer Night's Dream in the spring is always very popular with our audience, and work that the company just looks incredible in and knows very well and dances very well. Bringing back Christopher Demboise's Franklin Court, which has not been seen here for many, many years. Obviously, with the celebration around town of Franklin's 300th birthday, it wasn't rocket science for me to think maybe we should program this.
But there was a little rocket science in it, because when we talked about this probably a couple of years ago, you said that you wouldn't put it on unless you knew the technology was there to make all of the mechanical choreography happen as you wanted it to.
That's true. And my crew, my production staff, has worked very hard to make that happen and to ensure me that it will happen. So I don't have to lose any sleep over that. And it will. I mean, we are presenting it along with James Kadelka's Firebird, which was a big success for us a number of seasons ago. But it's a big revival for the company. And it was actually one of the last ballets that I created when I was still dancing that I created a role in that was choreographed on me. So it's special to me in that regard as well.
Pennsylvania Ballet Artistic Director Roy Kaiser. Dave Lamado has been described as one of the country's most exciting young conductors, and he's certainly living up to that reputation as music director of the Delaware Symphony. His energy, dedication, and superb music-making have brought the orchestra to a new level. He's also been a great asset to his organization in terms of communicating with the existing audience and encouraging new interest in music in Wilmington. He spoke with us by phone earlier this week.
A lot of things really stood out in the past year. I think that it's been really remarkable how hard the Delaware Symphony has been working to improve and how good we sound. I mean, it's been a wonderful growth process for all of us, and I think the community included. I think they've really realized what a wonderful treasure we have in Wilmington. I'm looking forward to continuing this growth momentum that we've got started, and I'm anxious to get the community even more included in what we're doing and get the community to really truly realize the full force of what they have in their backyard. It's always a challenge doing the kind of art that we do to make the community at large realize that this is not just a relic, but a vital part of being a civilized human. And I think that it's always a challenge to make that sale, but I think when you have a product and an orchestra and a venue and an environment as inviting and as high quality as we have here in Wilmington, I think that once people get a taste of that, they'll want to come back. So I'm looking forward to really embarking on that voyage. In one sense, you just have to be noisy. And you have to be out in the community letting people know constantly what it is you're about and what it is that you're doing. And then you have to make sure that if you've communicated that to people and you've piqued their interest enough that they go and buy a ticket and come to a concert, it has to be a tremendously compelling event. And so I think we need to make sure that those two angles, those two facets, the internal and the external, are running at full force and full efficiency to really get the community to thoroughly buy in.
Delaware Symphony Orchestra Music Director David Amado. Theater is Alive was the name of a Theater Alliance of Greater Philadelphia campaign this fall, and it seems to sum up the buzz that surrounded the theater community over the past 12 months. Creatively Speaking's Jason Pfeiffer went to talk to some of the people who are helping to generate this excitement and has this report.
Over the past year, a lot has happened in the world of Philadelphia theater. There have been world premieres, festivals, and new initiatives. Here at WRTI, we've covered well over 40 different productions with previews, reviews, interviews, and stories of theater issues and trends. As we jump into the new year, we asked 6 different theater leaders in the region to review some of the highlights of the past 12 months and also look ahead to what's in store for 2006. Here's what they had to say.
My name is Walter Dallas, and I'm a producing artistic director of Freedom Theater. In 2000, we opened our brand new theater, which was beautifully renovated, and we built new spaces and all of that, and ended up with a pretty sizable deficit. We came in short in terms of the fundraising for that project. So we've been in some serious financial trouble for the past 2 or 3 years. In fact, at some point, it looked like Freedom Theater may have had to close its doors. We managed not to do that. Instead, we canceled our season. I laid the entire staff off, including myself. The theater was run for 6 months by a group of volunteers. And there were other cost-saving measures and fundraising measures. So now I can say that we now are back. We are out of the red and into the black, and we are actually mounting a season this year, starting in February. The fact that we are back with 3 shows lined up sends a signal that Freedom Theater is back and that good news is happening on the North Avenue of the Arts.
Hi, my name is Bernard Havard. I'm the producing artistic director of the Walnut Street Theater. It was a great season overall, but West Side Story put the icing on the cake. It was such a popular event that we were able to extend it 3 weeks. So we were able to start the year off with a real surplus cushion from the West Side Story effect. We're doing a co-production this year of Lost in Yonkers with a theater in Florida, Coconut Grove in Miami.
The spring, I believe you're doing Trying?
Trying, yes.
Which is based on somebody who's in FDR's administration. It was Philadelphia-based.
Francis Biddle.
What can you tell me about that show?
It's very genuinely moving. It's very historical. It's very appropriate for Philadelphia because of all the Philadelphia references to the Biddle family. And then we're going to do for the holiday show next year, 42nd Street, all those dancing feet. So that should be a good way to kick off the new year.
I'm Quinn Bardell. I'm one of the artistic directors of Pig Iron Theater Company and also one of the founders. And last year, we had a really great season. We premiered a piece called Hell Meets Henry Halfway, which is an adaptation of a Polish novelist's novella called Possessed, and ended up getting an Obie Award special citation for outstanding production. So that was really kind of, for us, puts us on the playing field that I think we want to be on as an international touring ensemble. This is our 10th anniversary. We've been located in Great Philadelphia for the last 10 years, and this is the first year that we're about to embark on a full season of works, some new, some old. You know, we always say it's our biggest, most ambitious thing that we're trying to do. We've never done a full season before. We've never had a subscription before. There's a little bit of everything.
My name is Blanka Ziska, and I'm co-artistic director of the Wilma Theater. We are looking forward to doing a great kind of project that I'm very excited about. It's a festival of Carol Churchill plays. Carol Churchill is a great British innovative writer. We have never done her work before, and so we have decided to repair that and put on her latest play, which is called A Number About Genetic Engineering, and her play that is going to have a 25th anniversary, which is called Cloud Nine. So these two plays will be running in a repertory, and outside of that we'll do about 5 readings of her other plays as well.
I'm Terry Nolan. I'm the producing artistic director of the Art and Theater Company, and 2005 was truly a banner year for us. We did Stephen Sondheim's Sweeney Todd, which became the best-selling show in the Arden's 17-year history. As we look to the new year, we're looking forward to Michael Hollinger's new play, Opus. Michael's a Philadelphia playwright, and this is the 6th world premiere of a Michael Hollinger play that we've done. And it's a brilliant play about a string quartet. Already, theaters across the country are eager to produce it. We'll be closing this season with an all-star Philadelphia cast for A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. And our hope is that we're going to end the season with a grand old time with some of Philadelphia's finest comedians.
I'm James Haskins, the executive director of the Theater Alliance of Greater Philadelphia. And theater in the Greater Philadelphia region is really becoming known as a destination. We have artists now moving to the region to participate in theater. We have still new companies emerging or moving to town. So it's truly an exciting time, I think. And I only see our community growing stronger and audiences participating in more and more that there is to offer.
Greater Philadelphia Theater Alliance Executive Director James Haskins ending that report by Creatively Speaking's Jason Pfeiffer. And that's it for now. Our thanks this week to Emily Sharamy, Catherine Blodgett, Tracy Gallagher, Norman Keyes, Paul Murata, Jessica Coulter, Megan Wendell, Jerry Brisky, and Thomas Miller. Creatively Speaking's theme music is by Bill Jolly. Our executive producer is Jack Moore, and I'm Jim Cotter.
Creatively Speaking is a production of WRTI in Philadelphia. Support for the program comes from the Greater Philadelphia Tourism Marketing Corporation, the Pennsylvania Council on the Arts, and the listeners of WRTI.